They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may be seated. Today we will continue on in our study of Mark's Gospel. We're in chapter 6. We began at verse 7. And Jesus called his 12 disciples to himself, and he began to send them out two by two. And in pairs, they went out to preach and to proclaim the good news of the gospel. As is often the case with the Holy Spirit, the gospel lesson appointed for today fits very well with the events of the last week and certainly with the messages that we've been proclaiming, but it fits particularly well with this Sunday, which immediately follows the national convocation of our church. 500 plus people gathered in a convention center, I think technically in Las Vegas. A lot of people didn't want to admit that, but everybody was saying the convention was hosted by the church in Henderson, Nevada, but the actual address of the convention center was in Las Vegas. And you know, people were hesitant to tell everyone that we were going to what is, of course, commonly referred to as Sin City. But how appropriate that the church went there. And it was even mentioned in one of the several talks at the convocation that if you don't think this world is in the desperate need of a Savior, in the saving love of Jesus, in the grace of God to amend and change one's life, all we had to do was go downstairs from the convention center and wade your way through the smoke of the casino and take a look around at so many people there that needed to hear the saving message of the gospel. We were in exactly the place that God wanted us to be in that place. No, we didn't all run down and play slot machines, and we didn't take the kids, you know, down to any of the questionable, to put it mildly, questionable things that one might see on the strip in Las Vegas. And interestingly, the convocation was attended by a lot of children, a lot of families. It was very encouraging to see people from all over the country, and indeed a few people from different countries that came to this place. Now, when you receive your This Week at Bread of Life email this coming week, you'll see that there is a link there. The diocese in California recorded everything, and you can watch and listen to all of the talks, all of the sermons, all of the worship services. I think they're broken out just like that, where you can watch the whole thing if you like, or you can listen to the particular sermon or to one of the talks. But that's there for you, and I'll give you the link to that. It's just the Diocese of the West that is doing that. Hopefully that all works out. I'll give you instructions when I get that email out to you. But you can hear and see all of the things that happen, and you'll see this wonderful depth and breadth of the Charismatic Episcopal Church. Because sometimes I think we think that we're a little isolated, or we feel that way, or we don't, you know, there aren't a lot of people around that are like us. You know, other than Father Steve and St. Martin's, the nearest Charismatic Episcopal Church is our friend in northern Indiana. And then from there, you have to go over to Michigan. We are, as I've said many times, we are small but mighty. Well, take that to this lesson from Mark's Gospel. Jesus calls to himself his 12 disciples, and he sends them out two by two. Two by two. They could have covered a lot more ground if they'd gone individually, but they didn't even do that. He sends them out two by two to teach and to proclaim and to call people to the message of the gospel. So, that's a pretty tall order, isn't it? Okay, six pairs. Now, this is before, you know, Judas does his thing and all of that. So, six pairs. And maybe there were others, who knows, you know, the Gospel of Mark tells us that he calls the 12 and he sends the 12 out two by two. You guys, you six pair, you go out and change the world. Now, not being the brightest bulbs in the box, some of these guys, they said, okay. So, all right, we got a pair right here, Jim and Jennifer. You go out and change the world. Then come back and let us know how it goes. Who would do that? Why would anybody do that? But yet, they did it. And they did it because they were empowered by Jesus to do that. When Jesus tells you to go and do something, He's not going to say, go out and let me know how it goes. He's going to give us the ability, the power, His presence to make it happen. And what we talked about at this convocation was Nehemiah chapter 2, that we are going to rise up and build. That's what Nehemiah says. Rise up and build. Matter of fact, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Somebody took all the Bibles out of this pew. Who's taking the Bibles? If you're taking them, you better be reading them. That's all I got to say. Our convocation was based on Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. It's going to be on page 549 in that pew Bible. 549. And they just took a portion of it as the theme for the convocation. They took up, let us rise up and build, as the theme for our church. But look at the whole of verse 18. Nehemiah says, I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that had been spoken to me. He's prophesied over. The hand of God is upon him. And they say, let us rise up and build. And that is what we are called to do as the Charismatic Episcopal Church, as a church founded, grounded, and established in the first century church of Jesus. As a church that looks to those disciples who were sent out two by two to go and preach and proclaim. But let us not forget the very last part of that verse. The thing about Old Testament verses, they're usually longer than New Testament verses, and so they're harder to memorize. But look at the last part of verse 18. Then they set their hands to this good work. They set their hands to this good work. They committed to rising up and building. They began to establish that which was needed to go out and to preach and proclaim. And they committed themselves to work of all things. I'd rather commit myself to fun. Let's commit ourselves to having big parties. Let's commit ourselves to social events. Let's commit ourselves to all of those fun things that go along with being in Las Vegas. but they set their hands to the good work. The hand of God is upon them. They're prophesied over. They commit to rising up and building, and then in order to do that, they have to commit to the work that goes along with it. That's where we are as a church. That's where we are as a denomination. And that's where we are as Bread of Life. How was the traffic coming in this morning? Did you get through Dousman okay? Yeah. You got through okay? All right. Well, that's good. You know, we have yet to hire somebody to stand out there in a yellow vest and park cars for us. You know, there are churches that do that. You go to Elmbrook, they got people in the parking lot, you know, and they're putting cars all over the place. They don't have the same message that we do, though. And as good as some of their messages might be, they still don't have the same message. We embrace Jesus who said, "I am the bread of life." We embrace Jesus who held that bread up at the Last Supper and said, "This is my body. This is my blood." We're liturgical for a reason, because what we do is what the first century church did. The words you hear, modified so that we can understand them, if you will, we are saying the same words that they said then. We're doing the same thing that they did then, and we'll continue to do it until Jesus comes back. We have a message from our church that the world needs to hear and understand and embrace, because too many people have left it. Too many people have put it by the wayside. Too many people have said, "Well, that's not important." And many have rejected it altogether. That's what Mark's gospel is about. That we are going to go out and proclaim, and there will be people that will not want to hear it. Jesus says, "Go, do what you're told, proclaim the message. Be prepared that people will not want to hear it. They will reject the message. They will reject me," says Jesus, "and they will reject you." Not that they might, and not that it's a possibility, but they will. And so the message might seem kind of hard. Jesus says, "Shake the dust off your feet and move on to the next." What he's really saying is, you know, proclaim the message, do what you're told, and then continue to do that. And if someone doesn't receive it, you've done what you were told to do. And let it be upon them if they don't receive it. Don't get so caught up in the fact that people don't want to hear what you have to say, because that's what the Christian church has done over centuries. The Christian church has got caught up in the fact that people reject their message, and so they change the message. They're not shaking the dust off their feet. They're not leaving the message and then moving on to where God wants them to be. If someone rejects it, well, then we have to change it. Then there's something wrong with the message. That's not the case at all, but that's what the church has done. Well, it's harsh. People don't like it. People think we're judging them. People are not convicted by us. They're not judged by us. They are convicted by the Word of God, judged by the Word of God. The Bible says that very thing. And called to follow this Word of God. And so we go out into the world like those disciples with a difficult message, but with the message of the gospel. And we go into a world that doesn't want to hear it, that's going to reject us, Jesus, and this message. And yet this is what we are called to do. And if you think we've got it tough in this world, imagine these six pairs of guys. What were those conversations like after Jesus sent them out? and Jesus is going to hang back, you know, with perhaps other followers, with those that he didn't call to go out there. Certainly Mary is there, mom is there with him, and you know, they're all kind of hanging out, and he sends these guys out to proclaim the gospel. And imagine being in one of those pairs. You know, pick a disciple that you really like and connect with, and imagine yourself going out with that person. I'd pick Philip myself. I like Philip. But imagine being out there, and you're walking along, and you've just left, and okay, where are we going to go? Well, we have to go to where the sinners are. Going to Vegas. Imagine it. Imagine what had to be going through their heads. But they were just off enough, these guys, to do it. And that's who we have to be. St. Francis said, you know what, you can call me a fool, but if I'm a fool for Christ, then I'll be the biggest fool out there. If you think I'm a fool because I follow Jesus, then so be it. Because I'd rather do that than anything else. So we got a really good message from this convocation. It was a convocation that was based in a message of marriage and family, of strengthening the Christian family. I'm going to ask, or invite anyway, Beth was at the convocation. Ralph and Nanette were at the convocation. Bless Ralph and Nanette. They got on a plane Friday, came home. As soon as they got home, they got in a car and drove somewhere. A family member's getting married. Got married yesterday. And so they're off at a wedding, you know. If you haven't noticed already, Ralph is our version of the Energizer Bunny here. So, yeah, he's got 20 years on me and he makes me tired. Anyway, praise God for that. Our bishop loves that. Just as an aside, every time I turned around at that convocation, Ralph was talking to somebody. He met a lot of chaplains, police and fire chaplains in particular, at the convocation, and is starting that kind of a network. So what you're going to hear about, as particularly as we work through Mark's gospel over the next few weeks, is the message that we have heard to be sent out to preach and proclaim the gospel. To be true to these words, to rise up and build. And we're going to investigate together how we do that. We've done this before. Well, the call has been given to us yet again. And it was encouraging to have all of those people from all over the country in that one place to hear this message. And so you will hear more about that, and we'll talk about how we do that in what we have found, and you know from life here that this is a difficult place in which to minister. But we're going to figure out how to do that, and we're going to hear the Word of God again as we continue to proclaim. And you know, that might just be, God can do anything. As we need to stay faithful. We may never see people beating down the door to get in here. You know what, if we rise up and build, and a lot of these churches realize that if they add 1-2 families a year, imagine what that would do to the life and witness of your congregation. So how do we embrace this message, and how do we all do that short of all, you know, adopting and having children? So, but as I said, Beth was there. I'm going to invite after Eucharist today, if she would like to, or maybe even think about it, but I'm going to ask her to share her convocation experience and just share a few minutes with you of what it was like to be there, and perhaps any insights that she had. I'll ask Ralph to do the same. And then over time, you're going to hear from me. There were business meetings with the clergy and the bishops, and of course, that was... Well, not of course, but what you there are things that happened along the side business-wise. It was not a business convocation, but there were things like that, and I can share with you some of the things that came out that way. That's the more boring stuff, but there are some exciting things happening in our denomination across the country, and you'll hear about those as well. So this will be kind of an ongoing thing. So if you didn't get to go, you're still going to hear about it, and you can listen to it. You can hear the talks from the Patriarch. The four speakers were fantastic. And they're causing us to really reflect on things, but all based around let us rise up and build, and based on strengthening families, and particularly reaching out to young people as the CEC. So those are the things that they focused on. Those are the things you're going to hear about. But again, how appropriate that our message from Mark's gospel tells us that we don't have to be a big mega church. We don't have to look at ourselves and think we're not as important because we're not Elmbrook, or we're not as important because we're not St. Bruno's down the street. They might get 3,000 people in there on Sunday. Jesus didn't send them out 3,000 at a time. He sent them out two by two. That's all. That's very encouraging for us. That's all we need to do. That's all we need to be, is what He called us to do and be in His gospel. Father God, I ask Your blessing on us today as we begin to reflect on these things, and as we embrace the message of the gospel, as we embrace the message of Jesus, Paul's letter to the Ephesians that places You above all. Father, help us to hear Your word, hear Your voice and direction in all of this. That as You send each one of us out to proclaim the gospel in this world, help us to have the strength and the courage to do that, to realize that there will be some who reject that message. Father, let us find our strength in You and not in the approval of men. Help us to have the courage to answer this call. And above all else, we ask Your blessing upon this congregation, upon this parish, upon our denomination, small but mighty. We pray, Lord, that everything we do and say will be within Your will and to the glory of Your name. This we ask in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.